Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our multi-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hi, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan. It's been a while since you've been live on KHOI. Welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back, especially today, when we'll be wrapping up the summer festival season with Pufferbilly Days in Boone. Alyssa Knutson from the Boone Chamber of Commerce will be with us to tell how Pufferbilly Days got started 40 years ago and what to expect from it this year. Then we'll hear from people representing two of the parade entries, John Fitzsimmons for the Civil War reenactors, and Homie Simmons and Corianne Westfold to tell us what Boone Community Theater has in store. We'll close with announcements of yet more upcoming events, including Kyvan Kirk to tell us how Story Theater Company plans to make sure everyone has an opportunity to experience Narnia.
Well, that's certainly an action-packed schedule, Susan, and our first guest, Alyssa Knutson, Manager of Programs and Events at the Boone Chamber of Commerce, is already on the phone to tell us about Pufferbilly Days, which starts tomorrow, Thursday, September 8th, and continues through Sunday, September 11th. Alyssa, are you there?
I am. Good morning. How are we doing?
Well, welcome to KHOI. And I guess you've been very busy. You had the Farm Progress Show a couple of weeks ago, and now you've got one of the biggest festivals in Iowa coming up.
Correct, yes. So we are a day away, so there's lots to do still, but we're very excited to get going.
Now, Pufferbilly Days, where is it going to be held? Is that all over Boone, or do you have several major locations?
That is going to be mostly downtown Boone. There's going to be a couple of different places, I guess, on Sunday. There's going to be some activity out in kind of the McHose Park area and some of the Herman Park Pavilion areas in the park as well. So mainly downtown, but then we do have a couple out in the park.
Now, you're getting started on Thursday. That's September 8th. Now, what do you have planned for the big opening on Thursday? What's happening the first night of the festival?
Well, we do our opening ceremonies, so we will have somebody, we'll have people representing the colors, and we will have the Boone Veterans Council there. We'll have somebody singing the national anthem, just kind of a quick kind of warm-up to Pufferbilly Days, but after that, we kind of get started with some Rock and Soul Review. They are entertainment for that evening, but just kind of the opening ceremonies with the Boone Veteran Council and National Anthem and that kind of stuff, and then we get kind of right into it.
Now, how many people attend this festival every year? What kind of crowds do you expect this year?
Well, roughly, I would say around 25,000 for the full 4 days, kind of in and out.
So it's 40 years now that you've had Pufferbilly Days. What was the beginning of that wonderful tradition? How did it get started?
Well, this is actually my first year coordinating Pufferbilly Days. So it's my understanding that it started as a retail promotion back in the day for the downtown businesses. And then each year it just kind of grew and grew, and they added more things to it. And so here we are today.
Wow. Now, what events are in store beginning on Friday then?
Well, on Friday, we have the carnival, we have the quilt show opens, bingo will be taking place, we have Abbey Normal, they are our entertainment for Friday evening. We'll have the craft beer tent, we'll have food court, all kinds of fun stuff.
Wow. Now, since this is celebrating the history of Boone, what's going on at the Boone County Historical Center? I believe they had some repair necessary on the facade of the front of the building. How's that going?
Correct. I believe it is coming along pretty well. They are actually hosting the quilt show, so that will be getting going on Friday. So, yeah, we're excited to see kind of what they've done with everything.
And the people can still enter through the front of the building on Story Street then?
I believe so, yes. I believe they are to that point.
Well, now tell me about the parade. That's one of the highlights, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The Pufferbilly Days Parade is one of the largest in Iowa. It'll bring probably 10,000 spectators on Saturday morning. We have close to 100 entries, so it's a pretty large and long parade. But, yeah, it's definitely something you don't want to miss.
Well, how many entries do you have in the parade usually?
We are up to, I think, 98 this year, and really it ranges from 90 to probably 120 each year, somewhere in between there. So.
Now, how many marching bands? How much music? I like marching bands.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have four different bands. We have Boone, we have Ames, Ogden, and Carol Kemper.
So you've got several bands coming.
Correct.
And what is the parade, about an hour long or longer?
Oh, I would say it's probably even longer than that. I mean, it'll be a couple hours just with the amount of entries that we have.
And then on Saturday, what other things are going on Saturday?
Well, Saturday morning, even before the parade, we have our 5K, 10K run. We have Quilt Show is still going on. The carnival is still taking place. We have the motorcycle show, also bingo. Saturday evening, we have the tailgate party for the Iowa and Iowa State game. Standing Hampton will be performing Saturday night, so they will kind of kick things off that evening. But, yeah, a lot of fun things going on Saturday as well.
And you are going to be very busy with very little sleep.
Correct.
And it's going to be a horrendous, fantastic weekend in Boone for Pufferbilly Days.
Yes, it'll be a lot of fun and totally worth it. So.
Now, are there things going on Sunday also?
Yes, there are a lot of things taking place on Sunday. So there's disc golf tournament, there's a mud volleyball tournament, there's horseshoe tournament, we do a bike ride, there's a pet show, barbecue cook-off, spelling bee, the quilt show continues, so there's a lot of stuff going on Sunday as well.
Now explain mud volleyball. Where's that going to be? That sounds like an event everyone should try once, you know.
Yes, that's taking place at the Boone County Fairgrounds, and we still have available slots for some teams, so if anybody is interested, they can still get in, but we accept up to 32 teams, and it's just a big tournament, and, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Bring the whole family, whether you're playing or just watching. It's kind of cool to watch, so.
Well, now, what for you is the highlight of Pufferbilly Days? If you had to say there's one event you can't miss, what would that be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, really, all of them are great events. You can't go wrong with any of them.
Well, Pufferbilly Days, I didn't realize it had been going on for 40 years. That's quite a long time.
Yes.
Now, this is your first year coordinating.
Correct, yep.
And what's it like to do that? It's a lot of detail work and a lot of people you need to contact and coordinate.
Yes,
have you had a good time doing this?
Yes. It takes an army to pull off Pufferbilly Days. And so, I mean, kind of jumping in here, this being my first one, obviously there's challenges. But, I mean, me personally, this is probably one of the larger events that I've done. So it's kind of awesome to see it all come together. And I'll be happy to see kind of how everything goes this weekend. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
So you're prepared to be sleepless from Thursday through Sunday, right?
I am. I am well prepared.
Well, you know, here at KHOI, we cover a lot of these festivals at communities surrounding Ames, and this must be probably the swan song of festivals. Are you the last festival of summer?
But, yeah, we are one of the last ones kind of wrapping things up for the year.
Yeah, if you do that after Labor Day, you've got to be one of the last festivals.
Yes, absolutely.
And so everyone can have one last festival experience at Boone, Iowa.
One last hurrah at Pufferbilly Days.
Yes, this weekend. And it's going to be Thursday through Sunday.
Yep, correct.
Boone, Iowa. Do you want to leave us with a phone number or anything like that people can get in touch with you about if they have questions about what we've been talking about today?
Yeah, absolutely. They can call the office. It's the Boone County Chamber of Commerce, and the number is 515-432-3342. Just ask for Alyssa.
Alyssa, very good.
I have a question because our next guest is John Fitzsimmons from the Civil War reenactors. And I asked him if they were going to be in the parade, and he said he wasn't quite sure. Will they be in the parade?
They will be in the parade, yes. And they are doing, they have stuff kind of taking place on Saturday and Sunday. I know they're doing Saturday, they have the encampment, they're doing a battle, they're doing a ladies' fashion show, they do a dance demonstration. There's a lot of fun stuff that they do, and that takes place on Saturday and Sunday.
Now, where is the area where the reenactors will be working?
It's McCose Park.
It's out in the park. Okay.
Yep.
And will they be at the beginning of the parade? I know they have a battle that afternoon.
Yes, they are going to be towards the front middle area.
And they're going to be wearing wool. I happen to know about Civil War reenactors. They have to wear the costume and the type of fabric in use during the Civil War, and unfortunately, these poor soldiers in the summer had to wear wool. And so they're going to be probably the sweatiest people in the parade, I would think. And they're going to have a battle after the parade, too. So there's a lot to look forward to at Puffer Belly Days.
Yes,
and I think you're going to have a lot of fun running the show, Alyssa.
Well, thank you. Yes, I will have a lot of fun.
And everyone needs to be in Boone, Iowa this weekend for Puffer Belly Days, the parade on Saturday, right?
Correct, yep.
And then events on beginning Thursday night through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So
yes.
The swan song of Iowa festivals is Puffer Belly Days, right after Labor Day now here in central Iowa in September, beginning this Thursday. So, Alyssa, thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Congratulations on your 40th year, and may there be many more.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate you taking the time to tell us about everything that's happening, and now we'll let you get on with what we know will be a very busy day.
Well, thanks.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Yep, bye-bye.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We're your hosts, Paul Wearson and Susan Franson. And we've been visiting with Alyssa Knutson, manager of programs and events at the Boone County Chamber of Commerce, telling us about Puffer Belly Days, which takes place from Thursday, September 8th, to Sunday, September 11th. One of the features is a huge parade with many, many entries, and three of our remaining guests will tell us about some of those entries. Now, first we have John Fitzsimmons. He'll be telling us about the Civil War activities in McCoy's Park, including an encampment on Saturday and Sunday, a fashion show, and street dance in Civil War costumes, and three mock battles, which John calls melodramas. Well, welcome, John Fitzsimmons. How are you?
Well, thanks for having us here, or having me here today.
Well, you had to get up here to be here at 7 o'clock. This will be rebroadcast, by the way, at noon and 7 today. And now, first, you're going to march in the parade. Is that right?
It sounds that way. I wasn't for sure on our number, and if the number was going to be too far down the parade, we wasn't going to be able to do it because we have to be back to the park and get ready for the battle at 2 o'clock. And last year, the battle was at 1:30, and we got back after we got done eating. There was actually 40 people waiting there for us saying, hey, where's these guys at?
Where's the battle going to be?
So maybe it was going to be the battle of the spectators. I don't know.
Well, now, John, you might give us a little background on Civil War reenactors. I happen to be a member of the Civil War Roundtable in Des Moines, so we've had several reenactors present programs at our meetings. You might tell us a little bit about what Civil War reenactment is and how extensive it is.
Well, being here from Iowa, you know, Iowa sent more original soldiers to the Civil War per capita than any other state in the Union. So we do have a rich history in the Civil War reenactment, or Civil War in general. And in reenacting, the numbers are right now, they're actually down in the hobby. You know, I think it has to do with age, and a lot of these young folks are not quite up on their history or interested in the history. And we see an influx sometimes of a lot of young folks coming out and saying, hey, this is cool. And then a lot of times those people, you know, it's like a dead spot. And unfortunately, we're all getting older, including myself. And so some of our older folks are actually retiring, or Cobb's Battery or Confederate Cannon Corps, the whole corps just actually retired. So we are having some of our Union folks actually take over the Cobb's Battery. I don't know. We're all kind of like have our own little, you might say, niche. And I don't really want to be, I'm a Confederate. I don't really want to be a Union soldier.
Well, of course not.
I think I'm allergic to blue.
Oh, you're allergic to blue.
Yeah, makes me itch.
And you're going to be a loyal Confederate to the end?
Well, sort of.
So now, do you play a specific character?
Yeah, I actually do. And we try to bring this, or have been within the last couple of years, back home to Iowa. And the characters that we play are actually a family called the Goebbels.
And these are an actual historic
family. Yes, they sure are. They were a family, and you got to remember back way back in our history, a lot of these families had fought in the Revolutionary War. And we don't think about pride that much, but a lot of these people took a lot of pride in actually breaking away from England. You know, and they were thought they were being more or less dictated by England and the Queen, and actually they were. You know, the England wanted the United States to be part of their, what do you want to call it, province or whatever they called it back in those days. So these people were proud people, and of course after the Revolutionary War, hey, let's manifest destiny, let's move east or west, and sometimes they moved north. Well, this family here had moved into southern Missouri or northern Arkansas. We never did get the story. And then they said, hey, we heard there's rich farm ground up in Iowa. So, boop, they popped north, and they settled around Ottumwa. And Ottumwa, you got to remember back in those days, 1840s, Iowa was still a frontier. It was still a territory until it became a state, and then I think it was 1850.
1846.
1846. Yeah. Well, these governors were prior to 1846 then. And so they were living their life as they've always lived their life. They did what they wanted to do. There was no laws, really. And, of course, civilization caught up with a lot of these folks. And people just kind of ignored the Goebbels. You know, they were talking about what they believed in, as we do today. We talked about politics. We talked about what we believe in. Not that it's not as probably as, I don't know, dangerous nowadays as it was back then. Well, nobody paid a whole lot of attention to the Goebbels' way of thought. Until the Civil War broke out. And, of course, they were still preaching, you know, states' rights. Now, very few of your, what we call the dirt farmers, or the poor folks, actually owned slaves. And the Goebbels were the same. They didn't care about slavery. They cared about their states' rights. So, after the Civil War broke out, of course, American soldiers are the local boys or fathers went to the war, and there was ones coming back dead. Well, then people got really upset. They said, we didn't want to listen to this stuff no more. So then they got their militia involved. And the militia says, well, you know, we're not going to deal with this. This is a local issue. And let's get your sheriff involved. Well, the sheriff didn't really want to get involved because he knew the Goebbels. They'd been friends for years. Maybe probably going over and eat chicken dinners and stuff, you know, and all that stuff. But, so anyway, finally the Union Army got involved. And because it was all about the power of the people. And so they had a little skirmish. One of the Goebbels was actually wounded, and they shipped him back to Missouri and said, don't you ever come back. So they confiscated their land, their animals, and everything, and they sent him afoot.
Really?
And this is actually a true story. And we portray Iowans against Iowans. And so people understand, you know, that no, it wasn't about the flag. It wasn't about these guys from the South. It was actually Iowans believing in stuff against what other beliefs were of the time.
Now, this reenactment, that will be an actual documented battle that occurred.
No, it is not.
Okay.
It's more of a Missouri ruffian-like deal. We get a woman involved. Her name's Carol Shannon. Mm-hmm. Her husband has he's with the 3rd Iowa Light Artillery. That's our Union Cannon Corps.
Well, you referred to it as a melodrama. So
yes, it is. It's
that's
a melodrama.
It's not, you know, we're used to reenactment of battles like Pea Ridge. I know there's a big Pea Ridge reenactment.
Exactly.
But this is more in the area of a melodrama portraying these relationships and dynamics that you've just described about the various forces involved and loyalties on both sides.
Exactly. You'll get really involved in it. Our Carol Shannon plays a school marm. We get some local kids come out of the audience. We have good, bad kids. We got bad kids. And I ask the bad kids what they don't like about their teacher.
And you recruit kids from the audience.
Yes, we sure do.
That's,
and
now,
they love it. They love it.
So there are actual lines and dialogue in this.
Oh, they just, we just ask them. And it's kind of funny because they'll give you a modern-day answer to an old-time question.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's hilarious because how many kids bring frogs to school now? You know, they'll look at you, what frogs, you know? And, of course, the bad kid, you know, said, your teacher take your frog away? Yeah. Oh, man, I hate that, you know? And
well, now this melodrama, that'll begin at what time?
It's all part of the battle. So it'll start at 2 o'clock, hopefully, if we're back from the parade on time. And hopefully we will be. And so it'll start at 2 o'clock, and we also do a night battle.
Really?
Yes, this night battle is something new we started last year in Boone, and it was loved. And again, it's a melodrama. So it starts out ladies reading letters from their soldiers out in the field, and the soldiers actually stand and sit next to them, one Union, one Confederate, and they're writing letters home.
So it is a melodrama in the sense that it portrays not only that time, but the emotions, all the things that come in view when you talk about separation, commitment to a cause, war, the conflict of ideologies, all of the things that were experienced by people in that Civil War era.
Exactly.
And so this melodrama portrays really the length and breadth of the whole experience of the Civil War.
We've had people come up to us and said they were touched by the whole experience, and it gives them a little bit more understanding of things they've never heard about. People thank us for doing it this way instead of just seeing some guys popping guns off at each other. It makes it more personal.
Yeah, I think I'm really glad we had this talk because basically a lot of people are going to think this is exactly that, an action battle where people dress up in Civil War costumes and shoot each other. And not only, well, that would be educational to a degree, but you're talking about a much more thoughtful, in-depth portrayal of all the things that were happening in that era and how people felt and acted and reacted.
I think people leave asking themselves questions, and that's what we're after. We do still have the popping off the guns and shooting at each other. We still do that, and we have cannons, and at night it's really neat because the guns shoot off a 3-foot string of fire, and the cannons go off, and the night battle is probably almost eerie because you can see the figures, you can't see their faces, you hear the noises, the Confederates screaming, the Confederate yell, the wounded screaming on the ground, the cannons going off. It's exciting.
So the evening performance is more an actual portrayal of battle.
Exactly. And other than it has the melodrama of the ladies ahead of time. Okay. Oh, and they also have the Union soldiers singing songs. That's how it starts off. The ladies say, and then your soldiers slip back into the dark. And then the Union soldiers start singing the songs around the campfire. And then the picket yells, hey, there's something out there. And then the Confederates start doing this eerie Confederate yell.
The rebel yell, yes.
The rebel yell.
And that's legendary. The rebel yell was designed to strike fear.
Yes,
and
it does.
And I guess it really has its own sound and perspective. People who were Union veterans said that the rebel yell was absolutely gut-wrenching and frightening.
It's yips. It's actually yips. We've studied this, and some of the original sounds, we've had tapes of these old reenactors who came back to the GAR, and they'd say when they heard those sounds at night, they knew that hell was coming to them.
Yeah.
Because they knew these rebels were serious about what was going to happen.
Well, now, when you total everything up and you look at the melodrama and the reenactment, how many participants do you have in that?
We at this time have around 60 folks in our group. That's our ladies and our soldiers. And our ladies are just as important as our soldiers. We're always looking for people in the audience that want to come out. We suit them up. We give them a gun. We show them how to load it. We have one of our veterans stand by them, and they can be part of the battle. Right. As long as we have enough guns.
Right. Okay.
Which we always usually have 4 or 5, and people just love it. And then at the end, when the battle is over, the melodrama during the day is over, if you're as tall as the gun, you can shoot the gun with the original with a soldier, and we'll explain the weapon to you. So we have a lot of
Of adolescent boys who could actually shoot the gun, right?
Sir?
Well, an adolescent boy who's as tall as the gun.
Sure, definitely.
And that's your measure.
Or an adolescent girl. We don't care.
Yeah, what a sexist thing for me to say.
I was thinking.
Why couldn't a tall
girl? You want to start in our Civil War?
I want to apologize to all the girls out there. Well, anyway, what you have here is not only a melodrama and a battle reenactment, but also an encampment.
Yes, sir.
And so you might explain what an encampment is.
Well, encampment is where we set up our tents, and a lot of our older soldiers bring their wares with them, like old guns, original guns, bullets, information, so you can go amongst the tents and get educated, get to see, hey, that's an original bullet that was found in a battlefield. That weapon is an original weapon that was fought, used during the Civil War. And, of course, there's reproductions, too. And they have a lot of literature. Everybody out there is a historian. And you're not going to get this high school version of the Civil War. You're getting the real, real thing.
And then what you have is you stay out overnight in this encampment. And
I probably won't. I live in town.
Oh, okay.
I like my shower.
But the ones who are coming from out of town are going to probably
stay around. Oh, sure, yes.
But actually, people can just wander throughout the festival there.
Definitely.
You're going to be there all the time, even when the actual time of the melodrama is not on. There are going to be people in the encampment to explain.
Oh, definitely.
And listen to people who tour through.
And years ago, when I first came to Iowa back in 85 from California, Puffer Bully Days out at the park met the Buckskinners. Everybody loved the Buckskinners.
Yeah.
Well, over the years, things have changed. We were out there probably for 7 or 8 years back in the late 80s and early 90s until about 2000 we were off and on there. But the Skinners had always been there. But things changed. So we actually might have a Skinner coming out to show his wares that you can possibly even buy.
Now, the Skinner, that would be someone who's like a hunter, a frontiersman who hunted game and that sort of thing.
Sure, the early mountain man, the 1830, 35, 36, 37, the fur trader man. Mm-hmm. This fellow, his name is Joe Lang. They call him Yellowfoot. Good guy. He does good leather work. And he's just an all-around historian himself, and he's from Boone. And he was one of the original guys that used to go out during the day. And, again, their hobby has faded away, too. There's not as many of those Buckskinners as there used to be.
And the Buckskinners would have been those who came west and settled way before civilization and long ways before the Civil War.
Oh, definitely that. So you're getting a real taste of history.
And that's available right there at Puffer Billy Days.
Yes, we'll be
How many Puffer Billy Days have you done now?
Oh, I couldn't even count them all. Well, the rebirth last year was a sesquicentennial for Boone. So then they wanted to seek history. And, of course, we were one of the top sellers back in the old days. And like they talked about the Buckskinners, but there wasn't very many of them around. Well, they knew I was still around. And our group is still very much active. And so I don't know. I've probably done 12, 13 in the old days, Puffer Billy Days. And we used to also rob the Boone Scenic Valley Railroad in Boone, too, and that was a hoot.
Oh, you robbed the Scenic Valley Railroad.
Yeah, we used to do that and give the people fake money and steal it back.
You know, it sounds like great fun, and it's also educational. And what an opportunity and, of course, I'm a history buff and a Civil War buff myself, so it's just great to know that such an opportunity exists, particularly for kids, you know, young people who might have their imagination fired about this event and about this time in history by coming to your event and saying, wow, because I remember when I was young, the birth of my interest in the Civil War was watching Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then my aunt had this beautiful illustrated paintings of battles and Civil War scenes, and I was 8 years old, and that hooked me for life.
You know, one of the sad things I see every once in a while, I walk through an antique store, is an old photo that was a family photo of a Civil War veteran, or an old photo of a family, and I think to myself, why would you get rid of a picture of your family heritage? Why would you throw that out the door? Why don't people care? And I think that's the biggest problem. Lots of time we're a throwaway society now, and I think our generation, at least two generations back, I think family heritage was a lot more important than it is now. And I'm hoping that someday these young folks of today will say, you know, what was my genealogy? And unfortunately, a lot of these pictures are lost to antique stores or And how would you know it's your relative anyway? I guess you could always buy one and say, that's my grandfather.
Yeah, you could say, yeah. You could create your own story.
There you go.
How many folks do you expect to attend the melodrama itself?
Well, we had close to 400, which was amazing, for the night battle last year.
For the night battle?
Yeah, I was like, wow, we had people out there bean counting out there for us. And it was amazing. It was amazing. We just got done doing the Labor Day Festival in Madrid last weekend. We were there for 2 days, and the first battle, and we haven't been down. We used to go down to Madrid once in a while, too, and they offered us, hey, come back. We'd like to see you guys. And we had like 127 people for the first battle, you know, so that was good. That's a good number because you're not going to get everybody interested right away.
Well, your daytime. Now, we want to make sure our audience knows that there's a melodrama in the afternoon.
Melodrama and a battle, and it's at 2 o'clock.
Okay, and then your nighttime battle is
around. I think it's at 8 o'clock, I remember right.
So we got 2 and 8 o'clock. Those are the
yes, sir.
Time.
Yes, sir.
And I think the main thing to remember here is that you really encourage families to come, right?
Oh, definitely. That's what it's all about. These kids, you know, I got to tell a quick little story if you don't mind.
No, that's
yeah.
Fine.
We're down in Indiola last year. And we did our the school teacher story where the kids come out with the school marm, and they got good kids, bad kids, and I was really giving them a bad time, the kids, you know. Of course, it's in a fun way. We're always it's all about family fun. And this one girl got so upset at me after I died during the battle, and the battle was over, and she come over and she started kicking on me. She said, "You're a bad guy. I don't like you." She started kicking me. I didn't know what was going on. So it shows you how people do get wrapped up, even children.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing.
And that's what's good.
Well, the main thing is children, especially the younger ones who may not have really had this in school yet. You know, typically you'll get a lot of information about the Civil War in that era in high school and some degree middle school. Now, in Roland Story, all of our 8th graders are required to memorize the Gettysburg Address.
Oh, that's good.
And then the kids who come out on top there are invited to do the Gettysburg Address recitation at Memorial Day at both Roland and Story City. And they get a savings bond from the VFW. So that's a good thing for all these kids to memorize the Gettysburg Address.
Yes, it is.
And basically what we're talking about here is such a focal point of our history and such a time of change and definition of what America is. In fact, the Gettysburg Address does redefine America. It says this is what the United States is. And this is the result of the war and the effort to amalgamate the states in a more unified way that still took a long time. And there's a lot of these feelings that survive today. There are a lot of people who are really aggressive about states' rights and what limits should be on the federal government. So this era is really important to know because whenever you look at history, you look at what's the same, what's different, how does that precede the events of today, and what does that tell us about ourselves? So,
that's all very true.
Yeah. That's why people do these things. And, you know, I'm really impressed when I hear you talk about your experience, what a believer you are in what you do. I think that's fantastic. Now, you've got two consecutive weekends now, counting the experience in Madrid, where you're going to be out doing this 2 weeks in a row, right?
Actually, we're going to be doing a third week in a row we're going to Corden, Iowa. We'll be down there, and that'll be a real big one because they have soldiers coming out of Missouri for the Irish Brigade. And then the next one will be the Covered Bridge Festival in Winterset.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to be busy even in the fall.
Oh, that's our busiest time. It's really funny. We used to be early summer. It seems like all the activities within the last couple of years have been in the fall.
So just the last few years, it's been a shift toward the late summer and fall events.
We like that because the wool's a lot cooler that way.
Yeah, when you're wearing wool, but that's the hardest thing for modern-day people with all our breathing fabrics and everything, to understand that these men And women wore very warm clothing, too, the Malta petticoats and all the period piece costumes. And isn't there a fashion show or something?
Oh, yes. The ladies show. Have a good big fashion show. And they also, I think they're even going to have a dance. Come on out. They show you how to do some of the dances of the day. And, of course, they show they explain to you what the clothes was all about. And Carol Shannon and some of the other ladies talk about the dresses. And soldiers talk about the uniforms and the guns. And it's endless. Anything you want to – I mean, a lot of people – we had a guy last weekend actually came to all four battles. And he also – he was just so – overwhelmed by the activity, he says, I need more. He said, I'm going to go home and start reading history books or books about the Civil War. He said, this is just exciting.
That's what you want, people to leave there with a thirst to find out more and learn more. Thank you. Thanks, John Fitzsimmons. You've been delightful. Now, John organized the Civil War historical activities on Saturday and Sunday, September 10th and 11th. That'll be at Pufferbelly Days this year. As we transition to our next guests, we'll hear Freight Train, a nostalgic song about railroading sung by local musicians Al Harris and Tom Richards. After this break, we'll come back with Homie Simmons and Corianne Westfold. They'll be talking about a different kind of drama and a different parade entry, so stay tuned for that. And, by the way, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
We're back again. This is KHOI Community Radio, and we have Kyvan Kirk with us, who wasn't introduced earlier. He's from the Story Theater Company. He was going to be here with Corianne and Homie, who are still on their way from Boone at the moment, but we'll be here any minute. And Kyvan particularly wanted to talk about the children's workshops that Story Theater is going to be doing this fall. Could you tell us a little about that, Kyvan?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the last 8 or 9 years, we've actually only been doing summer workshops or spring workshops maybe. But 2 years ago, we started doing our fall workshops. So this year, we have a pretty interesting lineup, and it's actually to do partially with our production that's coming up because we're also doing a production of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So we have three different camps, and we really consider our camps our training grounds for our production. So that's where the kids are going to learn all the basic skills they need, how to direct their energy, how to analyze a script, and just kind of how to be honest and vulnerable on stage. And so the three camps we have offering this fall is we have, first of all, our kind of partner camp with the production, which is exploring Narnia beyond the lamppost. And then we have, for the littler kids, we have Justice League, where they're all going to come in and create their own superhero, and we're going to make a comic book play by the end of it, so that should be pretty neat. And then the one we're most excited for probably is actually our writing workshop, which is the first time we've actually offered a playwriting workshop before. And our playwriting workshop is going to be led by two playwrights who've actually won awards from our regional theater festival here in the Midwest. So That's a really neat experience.
When do these start?
They actually start on the 17th of September.
So they all start at the same time?
No, actually, they're one day a week for 6 weeks. And so the writing workshop happens on a Saturday. That's going to be from 2 to 4. And then the Justice League and Chronicles of Narnia, they happen on Tuesday and Thursday. And those are from 4 to 5:30 for 6 weeks. And mostly all of our workshops, they're all geared towards a culminating performance at the very end. So with the writing workshop, they get to kind of exhibit some of the things they've written and edited, and then we'll be creating our own plays kind of loosely based on Narnia and then loosely based on Justice League.
That sounds like a very enriching experience for kids.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And Corianne and Homi just walked in the door, literally.
Hi, everybody.
And so... I guess you all know each other, and now our audience will get to see you all in action together. Original plan for this morning was that you would tell us about your part in the parade for Pufferbilly Days, what the Boone Community Theater has planned.
So we're going to be in the Pufferbilly Day Parade, and our idea is to have representation of each of four of our productions this season. So we're going to have Fox on the Fairway kind of in front. Then we're going to have Narnia and our little Narnians. And then we're going to have Plaza Suite. And then we're going to have Bully.
The Adventures of Teddy Roosevelt. We try to represent as well as we can all of the shows that are going to be happening. But there's always only so many people from the theater that can march in the parade. So
we have season tickets now on sale and to buy the tickets.
I originally invited you because of Fox on the Fairway. But we've decided, since Kyvan is here, that it would be more fun for you all to talk about Narnia, and we'll just save Fox and the Fairway for next week, just before it opens.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
Sure.
How about you, Corey?
Sure.
All right, Kyvan, are you up on this?
Yeah.
I think this is great. Let's do some Narnia.
Yeah.
Woo, let's do this.
A workshop right here in KHY Studio?
Well, first of all, I think it's most interesting that we have the same title but different adaptations of it, which is really interesting. So do you want to talk about yours first?
Sure. The Boone Community Theater is putting on Narnia, the musical.
Mm-hmm. Which is an all-ages show, so it's going to be adults and children involved.
And Christopher Levi and Stephanie Hammer are directing this production. Michelle Levi is producing it.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And we are already looking. I mean, Christopher has big ideas for the set, huge ideas for the set.
He's using a lot of set from Fox and the Fairway,
and,
actually.
Yes, and he's actually using
that we made.
It's pretty amazing because, you know, he's helped building the set for Fox on the Fairway. And so he's like, oh, well, I love this. I'm going to use this for Narnia. And so he's like, and all about community theaters, about renew, reuse, recycle. So we are super big on that. And so he's just like, oh, great ideas.
Yeah.
And
you can see the excitement in his eyes when he's looking at the stage already and talking to people about auditions. This production is just, of course, based on the book by C.S. Lewis. And the writing is by, Jules Tosca, and then the music is by the music and the lyrics is by Thomas Tierney and Ted Druckmann, and so that's how that was adapted. It's actually really interesting because there's a lot of different musical styles from what I've seen in the musical. Now I haven't done a whole lot of looking into it because I'm directing Fox on the Fairway, but but it certainly looks really, really interesting to me.
Yes. Now, how did you? Now this is doesn't open until December, is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
It'll be December 2nd through the 10th,
I believe
for our showings.
I believe so. I can Google it.
That's fine.
I've got the audition dates up.
The audition dates are probably important to announce now.
I would say the audition dates are pretty important. It's going to be the 19th at 6 p.m., September 20th at 6 p.m., and then Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. if there's going to be callbacks.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important to announce that this early.
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that it's going to be a big cast, we're looking at 15 to 20. We haven't had a children's and adult combination since Alice in Wonderland, which was 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, this is really, really nice for us to come back together with that. And the way I believe Christopher's going to do this is, Christopher and Stephanie, they're looking for script, like reading, music, so song, doing a song, mm-hmm. singing, and then dancing.
Yeah, there is one part, one main part that is totally nonverbal. It's a dancing part. Dancing role, the white stag. And so that will actually, I believe, need to be a ballet dancer.
So we've got all types of things here, and I think they were also looking for musicians as well to play the music.
So those auditions are coming right up. You mm-hmm. say the 19th.
Yep, the 19th and 20th at 6 p.m.
Monday and Tuesday, the 19th and 20th, yeah.
Okay, well, let's go to Kyvan. And yours is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes. Yeah, so first of all, I absolutely love that you guys are doing a mixed-age cast. I think there is nothing better for a community than having all ages tell a story together like that and being in the same room. We just had a production like that over the summer of mm-hmm. As You Like It for Searching mm-hmm. for Shakespeare. It was really cool. Specifically about our production, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's based on the same source material as you guys' production, except ours is a straight play, and it's mm-hmm. adapted by Joseph Robinette. And the cool thing about that is we picked this specific version because it was one of the very first plays that we did at STC, and we did it about 8 years ago. So it's really kind of a gauge for us to see how far we've came and the progress we've made. It is really interesting because for this show specifically, our two main focuses are actually dramaturgy, so the historical research around the original book and kind of figuring out all the Narnia lore and what the Blitz was about when that was going on. Mm-hmm. And then we have the other focus is stage combat, which we're doing for the first time at STC, Bye. Which is going to be awesome. We've actually already cast our show. It's a pretty big cast. We were only going to cast 25. We ended up casting 31. It was our biggest round of auditions we've ever had at STC, so we actually still had to cut, like, 29 kids.
So hopefully those 29 kids will come over to Boone and
right.
try out, right?
We'll push
Thanks
them that way.
Just like, hey,
right.
go to Boone.
And and that's what I was telling our host here earlier, is that there's absolutely no competition between Boone and STC.
Oh, no.
They go up at different times. They're two different shows. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just cool that we're blessed to have two really great community theaters.
Yes. And Kyvan here, he's actually been on our stage.
Right,
And some of our BCTs have been on his stage.
Right, so we share things a lot, and hopefully that's a trend that continues on into the future.
Building bridges and love. Yay!
And actually, it would be interesting for the real Narnia fans to see both of them and compare them.
That sounds like the best month ever.
he's like, Narnia!
And if they're young enough, they could be in a workshop, too.
That's true.
Right. They could be in a workshop. Absolutely. And also, I can go ahead and give you the dates for our production of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It opens on November 4th, and it'll be two weekends, Fridays at 7 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays at 2 p.m., I thought Homie was putting it in her phone for a moment. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and put it in your phone calendars. But, yeah.
I believe you have a website, don't you, Kyvan?
We do have a website.
And I can probably look it up there?
Yes, you absolutely can. www.storytheatercompany.org.
Awesome. Thank you, Kyvan.
Oh, no problem, Homie.
And you have a Facebook page that shows people with light swords fighting each other. Is that your combat workshop?
I wish we were using lightsabers. However, I don't feel like that'd be dramaturgically correct in Narnia. So we're just beating each other up with wooden swords. Think Boone Community Theater is doing a great job, is really trying to figure out new ways that we can get the audience involved in our process and that mm-hmm. More transparent process, so maybe then they become more invested. Because I know you guys post on Facebook a lot. So we try to post on our Facebook page videos, pictures. The kids do really great blog posts, and we make them at least somebody do one every single week. So if you're looking for more information or ways to get involved, that'd be it.
All right. And for Narnia, our show dates are December 2nd, 7 o'clock p.m., Saturday, December 3rd, 2 p.m. matinee, Thursday, December 8th, 7 p.m., Friday, December 9th, 7 p.m., and Saturday, December 10th at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also look that up on our website, which is www.boonecommunitytheater.org, and all of our Facebook postings.
Of course.
Lots
and
of Facebooking.
We will have both of your websites up on our homepage.
Yay! That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. And promotion. So,
yes. Well, it's been just delightful to hear all your enthusiasm for Narnia and the children and the communities. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Susan. All right. Come see us. Yay.
All right. Before we close out the show, I'd like to give a preview of next week's show. We'll be featuring Story City Storytelling Festival and bring Homi Simmons and Corianne Westfold back again to give us a preview of Boone County Theater's fall play, Fox on the Fairway. Mm-hmm. You've all been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host for today, Paul Wearson, and we started out the show with Alyssa Knudsen, Manager of Programs and Events at the Boone Chamber of Commerce, and she was telling us about the activities planned for the 40th anniversary of Pufferbilly Days this coming weekend. Then we had John Fitzsimmons, and he told us about a variety of Civil War activities that will be part of the festival. Homi Simmons and Corianne Westfold gave us a preview of the 2016-2017 season for Boone Community Theater, and
Kive and Kirk
told us about Story Theater's coming play of Narnia, as well as their children's workshops. Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m., and you can listen to today's talk show, any of our past Local Talk radio shows, online here at our website, khoifm.org. Thanks to Ron Carson for posting the audio of our programs on our website, along with relevant links to today's stories and information about all of our guests. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all our show postings in your news feed. Local Talk was engineered by Evan Taylor. Our theme song is Backtracking by L. Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, Ballad of Kate Shelley. Also from that album, we heard the song Freight Train. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. And if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. And remember, your participation as a listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening today, and
see you again on the radio.